Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:36 at Central African time, and at that time of the morning, where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Mahama, the leader of the NFP, on his segment, Parliament Tunes with Ahmad. Ahmad, tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning as you overlook the Indian Ocean, Ahmad? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, a cloudy day in Durban, but of course, last night, very late hours of last night, I think the beach was flooded with beachgoers. This morning, there's a reasonable amount of people there, despite the little bit of a dull weather, but nice and cool and calm. So it is. Well, of course, in Palestine, it's not getting any better for our brothers and sisters, over 18 almost, that are killed thus far. The atrocities by the Zionist state of Israel never stops, of course. Protest actions are taking place all over the world. It is gaining momentum, but the Israelis are bent on wanting to wipe out the people in Gaza particularly, and on the West Bank. You know, so the questions have been raised, why are you touching the West Bank if there's no Hamas people in Hamas, in Gaza, in the West Bank? But yet, despite that, you know, they continue with the atrocities. They have got clearly an intent, and they are getting support from the West. And these are just some of the problems that we are experiencing. Well, of course, the water crisis, particularly in Itegwini, and of course, Cape Town is continuing unabated. I don't think you're ever going to get good, clean drinking water. So let me urge our people to make sure that the water you drink is purified. Do not, I repeat, do not take the word for these local municipalities when they tell you the water is of a higher quality. This is going to lead to cholera and many other, of course, illnesses. So I plead with you, please be careful when you're drinking this water. The crisis is nowhere near. I see that the Democratic Alliance is calling for assistance from investigators from Scotland Yard to help them to deal with the murder of their councillor in KwaZulu-Natal. But again, it shows when one of your own dies, you can go to this extent when everyone else is dying and councillors. If you look at the number of councillors, the NFP on its own lost in those areas, and they've previously lost councillors, the DA and others. But now you're calling for Scotland Yard. Why didn't you call for Scotland Yard? The political parties have been losing councillors as well. So, you know, it's a question that we need to ask. So some lives are more valuable than others. Three suspected hitmen have been arrested in a lodge in KwaZulu-Natal after the tip-off. But, you know, it clearly... the other major problem, of course, is the issue of the NHI and a lot of these experts, these skills that we have in the health sector and many other sectors are leaving in droves, if that the term I might use. I know the Minister of Police the other day said he don't know about people leaving in droves, but he does know that there are very skilled people with certain expertise that are leaving the police force. So that's some of the problems that we are having. There's again a concern being raised about Cape Town being the gangster's paradise and how difficult it is for people to live normal lives in the city of Cape Town. But again, I want to raise this last point, Brother Shepherd. So many things to talk about. Again, I want to warn our people. You are going into these supermarkets, these major big five supermarkets. The prices are rocketed in the last 2-3 weeks. All because they know you are vulnerable, all because they know you're going to buy, all because they know that you'll be getting your salaries, you'll be getting your bonuses, and you're heading towards Christmas, the festive season that they call, you know, festive. And you need to shop wisely. Be careful. When they say buy two, get one free, do your mathematics. Do your mathematics. It's very simple. What one of those items cost a week or 2 weeks ago, take the two of them that they're talking to you now and saying get the three. Take the three, divide it, and see what it comes to. And I'll guarantee you without any doubt that they're taking you for a ride. But I've noticed the simplest of things, Brother Shakir, just the simplest of things. The prices have rocketed by at least 40% minimum up. So this is what is going on and how these things. And the airfares already, you can see, are starting to rocket as well. So, and good news, though, is that the long-awaited train service between Durban, Johannesburg, and Cape Town at a very, very, very economical price of 430 rand all the way from Durban to Cape Town on your so-called blue trains and shosholos or mail. Perhaps we need to start making use of those services as well. It's 170 rand between Johannesburg and Durban. If it remains effective, of course, it might be a good means of transport if they can just improve the quality of the service. And let's hope that it will match what we've had before. But I just want to say, be careful when you are shopping. What value you're getting now is 40 to 50% less than what you would have got 2 weeks ago. And it's going to get progressively worse as you go closer towards the festive season, which may not with your long weekend and things coming next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, the DA have brought in Scotland Yard. By the way, they also brought in the FBI. So, in other words, you can see how closely the FBI works with them, Ahmad.
Yes, Brother Shafat. And there's also some rumors, if there's any truth in it, which needs to be investigated. But whether it's just propaganda or not, I don't know. I'm told that a lot of Jewish people settled in the Cape from the 7th of October. And we're talking about very large numbers, but it has not been verified, so I really don't want to go there. But FBI working with the Western Cape, DADT, Scotland Yard working with them, the Zionist State of Israel working with them, the US, the UK, these are the countries that are working with them. In other words, all the enemies of mankind, of humankind, are working together with the Democratic Alliance in the Western Cape. And say it again, we are treading on very thin ice. We are allowing, right in full view of us, the Democratic Alliance and particularly the Zionists to take control of the city of Cape Town and or the Western Cape, which will become another Palestine. That is what is going to happen if we don't rise and rise right now.
Ahmad, you know, you're a genius. Allah blessed you with, you talk, you call a spade a spade. I want you to investigate this person called Cecil John Rhodes and check his history and see whether he was a Zionist, because he was quite popular in politics there too. And, you know, he's the one that came with all the capturing of this gold mine and that and that and that. He passed away at a young age, but he was a powerful entity in being the zigzag, Ahmad.
Yes, indeed, but let us also give credit to the Khoi and San. South Africa would have been under Portuguese rule if the Khoi and San did not defeat the Portuguese, if you remember. I just don't have the actual year, but I can tell you the Khoi and San did defeat the Portuguese when they came to take over, in any event. But yes, Cecil John Rhodes, well known, of course. One needs to investigate that and see what his role was. But remember, these people came here with an agenda. And all the havoc has been caused by the British. Let us not forget. We sometimes attack Afrikaner, we attack this one, we attack that one, like we attack the Zionist State of Israel. But we often forget who's the driving force behind these people. We often, you know, we're paying a lot of attention to the Zionist State of Israel. Can Israel survive without the support of the UK, the USA, France, Germany, and the likes? No, they can't. But we will still continue going out and supporting these big organizations attached to the US, the UK, and things who are funding these people. So if you can't cut it down right from the root of the problem, there it is in full view of you, the countries like the West, United States and others are supplying arms and this and that, you know, to the Zionist State of Israel in this particular case. And yet we do nothing about it. So we must also not be selective. If you want to make sure there's peace and stability and social upliftment all over the world, you cannot allow one country to dominate or a few countries to dominate the world. They control the World Health Organization. They control the Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the economies of all the countries. They decide when there will be disease. They control the pharmaceutical industry and make money out of those things. The financial institutions are controlled. The media is controlled by them. The entire food chain is controlled by them. You know, wholesale manufacturing is controlled by them. They make the stuff rubbish. Let me say it like it is. They make rubbish in China and Taiwan and other countries, and they sell it to you as a market or branded by the United States of America, and you're paying 50 times the price for it, and you are proud that this is what, but you're forgetting where it is made. You know, these are the things they, yeah.
Absolutely, you're making a lot of sense there. But you know, I got a double A for English when you spoke about the Khoi and San. And I'm going to give you a short history lesson. The first clash between European soldiers and indigenous inhabitants took place at Saldanha Bay in 1510 between Portuguese seamen and members of the local Khoi and San clan.
San, first indigenous nation. Now everybody else is claiming rights to this country, to its land, to its resources, to its water, to its minerals, to everything. But 1510, Khoi and San were defending it all. Eh? These people that came here, trekked and came here, didn't even know how to find water. The Khoi showed them how to find water on the ground. The Khoi showed them that. So the truth of the matter is this, everybody came here and found the Khoi and San here. But yet the Khoi and San remain one of the most neglected and or marginalized communities in the world, to be honest with you. Indigenous people all over the world are still getting back what is rightfully theirs. Even a percentage, at least, in South Africa, they are totally ignored by all political parties, governments, whoever govern, wherever they govern. But on the other hand, how they contradict themselves. Look at the high levels of hypocrisy. You are asking to take land and give back. He's talking about taking the land, giving the land rightfully back to the people of the Ngonyama Trust land. The Ngonyama Trust land don't own the land. The land belongs to them. Title and interest. They got no title deed. I raised the matter last week, only to find that the IFP, and then, of course, when I raised it, and I asked the minister, when is she going to do something about it? Because there was a high court judgment which said that what they're doing is unlawful. You can't make people lease land that belongs to them. You must return all the money. And what happened? When the minister responded, the minister said, no, that's not true. There is an appeal court in a matter. It's still in the court. And then, of course, the IFP led by Mr. Naren Singh then said, no, we are in darkness. And when the opportunity at the next debate, because that was... And then I told them, let's see who is really darkness in the darkness and who needs light. And then I told the minister, you got it all. You're the minister. And according to the judgment, it gave you 3 months to implement it. Yes, there was an appeal court, but she had not even seen at the stage, Brother Shepherd, that the Ngonyama Trust land had withdrawn the appeal. And if they withdrew the appeal against the judgment, means the judgment stands. Which means the minister had 3 months, and 3 weeks of the 3 months had gone. She didn't even notice that the judgment that these people had withdrawn it. And that's when I said, well, now it shows who's in the darkness and who needs the light. But they done nothing about the people on Ngonyama Trust land, but you're talking about land. You should look at the hypocrisy elsewhere. Now, it's exactly the same thing. We talk about land, but everybody's forgetting about the Khoi and San, the first indigenous nation, the only people that were here. You're forgetting about them.
Yeah, Mazen, I'm glad that you're harping on it, because you're harping not in vain. Something it will strike a chord.
Khoi and San chiefs live in shacks, Brother Shepherd. They live in shacks.
Wow.
Basically, what I've seen it in mind, I can take you and show it to you there. But look at the other traditional leaders, how they're all benefiting from the fruits of this country. But where is the Khoi and San? Nobody seems to care about them at all. That is what I've requested, that in building of parliament, in the rebuilding of parliament now, I want to see that the Khoi and San, loud and clear, an entire wing must be named after Princess Krutua, the mother of the Khoi and San nation. I've also asked that we put up a statue there, you understand, a plaque, in recognition of the Khoi and San. Or, you know, we tend to forget the people. An important role. Look at the role that Mother Winnie Mandela played in politics, you understand, in this country. Former President Madiba was released because of the role she played. She fought, she was banned and everything. People forget it. They are very selective when we decide what we want and who we can recognize and who we can't.
You know, Ahmed, you're striking a chord there. You're talking about Winnie Mandela. I remember, you know, she said, with this matches and with these stones, we will bring them down and so forth. But was she marginalized and taken out of the equation by Anglo-American, Ahmed?
Good question. Because when Madiba was released, where did he go? And what little experience? I don't want to go to their personal life. But let me tell you, who in this world is perfect, brother? His work. Why not recognize a role, those marches, those protests, that how vocal she was, how she sacrificed the family, you know, all those things. Why not recognize that at least? It happened very simply. She was out of sight. They just were there. And then, of course, up to this, you're not paying tribute to her for the role that she played. You know? So I think it is very, very unfair. Yes, she's not perfect. Like, yes, she's. But who says that the others are perfect? You know, you can find weaknesses in everybody. But the fact of the matter is give credit to those that is. Now, the first indigenous nation, as simple as they were, you understand? But the fight, and they saved this country. Today, we are enjoying the fruits of their hard labor, but we don't want to recognize the coincidence. I mean, did everybody, anyone, let us for the first time in our lives recognize these coincidence? Let's do something about it. How can we improve their quality? Can we give to them the rightful owners? But we're getting the grip on everything that they have over. We are the only political party representing in fighting for the cause of the Khoisan and not another party at all, not a single one. The Western Cape, if you want to talk about it, the majority of the Western from the West Coast coming down, going up to the Eastern Cape, all that is Khoi territory. Even in KwaZulu-Natal, those late Ladysmith to those things, the Griqua and the Khoi community, forgetting Northern Cape, all Khoi community. We're forgetting about it.
I look at the message on the screen here. It says, Ahmed Mazrour Sheikh Imam and Bruce Schaff, MP, is on fire as usual. Really enjoy him. But Martha, for my question, I want to know if the Hottentots and the Bushmen are the same Khoi and San people that Ahmed is talking about. Ahmed?
Let me tell you, there is a difference. You must remember, every colored is actually a Khoi. Not every Khoi is a colored. Let's put it to you that way. You know, every Zionist is a Jew, not every Jew is a Zionist. All right? Now, in this particular case, you've had Khoi and San. Then you've had those that came from East Africa. Okay? When they're talking about the Hottentots and things like that, they are majorly talking about the white. In affairs with black women and things like that, who abused them, took advantage of them, raped them, did whatever they want to do with them, and then they call them Hottentots, they call them coloreds. Coloreds is a very derogatory term. It should be removed from the vocabulary in South Africa, but they still continue wanting to use them. But the Khoi and San as a nation has always been here. It's the whites, when they came here together with interaction with Khoi and also with Africans, eventually, understand that led to other nations where they call them Hottentot, they call them coloreds, and they call them everything else. And let me tell you, even in the Khoi and San, it has great significance for the Muslim community. Great significance for the Muslim community as far as the Khoi and San. Many of the Khoi and San are Muslim. You know, but I've noticed something, that certain grouping of people, particularly among the colored community, some of them don't want to identify themselves. They don't want to identify themselves as Khoisans. And the fact of the matter is they are Khoisans. And like I said, there is that percentage of them that came between white and black and what it is, the white and Khoisan. But the fact is, let us not run away from it, that the Khoisans, if there's anybody in this country that has a right over its land, its wealth, its minerals, its water, its everything, it's the Khoisans. They may not have developed it, and that is why we say the country belongs to all who live in it. But why forget conveniently forget and marginalize the rightful people. So you go there, you go to a country. It's like what happened all over the world, what the British did and others did. They went into other people's territory, found people, they took it. Exactly the same thing with the Reef community. The Reef Republic community of Morocco. Morocco never existed. The Reef Republic existed. And what happened? Colonialists, the Spanish and others, what did they do? Took it and created the Kingdom of Morocco and isolated and got rid of the Reef people. The Reef people are now standing up. They want what is rightfully theirs. Western Sahara is calling for theirs. So there's a lot of unfinished business, brother, over the world. Havoc and mayhem that was created, the US, the UK, and France, and Germany, and Spain, and all what they have done. We have not dealt with it. We need to continue resolving this country by country and giving the rightful owners back what belongs to them. Same thing with Palestine. Israel never existed. Palestine always existed. You come there and just want to wipe them off and take it. And you didn't start there. Remember, Uganda was supposed to be a Palestine. Argentina was supposed to be a Palestine because the Jews were first going to go there, to the Uganda or to Argentina, and then eventually didn't and ended up in Palestine.
Look at the message from Dilzar. He says, Bruce Chef, may I remind you, you don't get information like this on any radio. Only when you come in with your MP, does everything come to light. And Mufti AK Hussein also is a firebrand like what Ahmad Manzoor is. May I remind Ahmad Manzoor, let's do a top C on America and look at the Red Indians. They were the owners of America. They were the indigenous people of America. And I believe they were Muslims. Ahmad, how do you respond to Dildar?
Indeed, my brother, Jazakallah for your comments. Yes, indeed, it's something we need to look at. We need to go back to history and look at every country, who it belonged to, who were the rightful inhabitants of those countries, who has the right title and interest of those countries, who are the people that should be recognized, and who are the people that were displaced. We need to look at that, and we need to correct that. I hear people in this country, Brother Shafat, always saying, if you don't deal with the land issue, you will never have peace in this country. So why should it not apply to all over the world? You can't have peace anywhere in the world until everybody gets back what is rightfully theirs. Let us be consistent about it. But let us come together. Let us come together and fight a common cause for the common good of all those people who have been neglected, marginalized, and forcefully removed. That's what we need to do. And I agree with the brother. Let's get to the history and see exactly what has happened there. Who were they before? United States, called them United States of America. The people from all the states are there. There's nobody was there that controlled that country today. They've got the skills and everything of the people from all over the world. And the a matter of time when the United States will no longer be in the hands of those people that today are controlling the world. It's only a matter of time. It's going to get there. But effort now. We need to put it in place now. I agree. Very important point that the brother made. We need to put history in the United States as well and see. You know, nobody is untouchable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave every country, I said it, I'm saying it again. I was in Limpopo last weekend. I saw what I always believed, that Allah has blessed every country, every province, every city with something different so that we can share and live happily together. I saw mangoes which I've never seen before. Whether it is a house, a little house that was there, but I saw mango trees with abundance of lychee. That is what we see, you know. So it just showed you how, I mean, look at it. You won't find it in Johannesburg, but you'll find it next to Johannesburg in Limpopo. What does it tell you? You got water, you got this, you got that in Durban, you got something else in Joburg, you got something else in Limpopo, something else in the Free State. You got something in every country in the world. Different. Not because you must steal it from them. You must share and live together happily. Mangoes I give you, I got lychees I'll give you. Let's share. No, you take my mango, you take my lychee, you take my gold, you take my diamond, you take everything away. That's why you took away the koi and sand thing too. And now what happens? You want to remove it from the face of history so that nobody will remember it. But I can tell you, alhamdulillah, for the last couple of years, in parliament, the Khoi and San got more recognition, okay, than it ever had in the last 30 years of this, 35 years before that, or 30 years, you know, in this country. This is what has happened. And conveniently, you got the DA in the Western Cape who recognizes the Queen Mother of the Britain, eh? But why don't they recognize the Khoi and San? Why not? Other parties are recognizing traditional leaders all over the country. Why are they not recognizing the Khoi and the San leadership, leaving them to live in shacks like they don't belong to the society?
Brilliant point, Ahmed. Brilliant point. And one more point here. I'm looking at this message from Khalil, and he says, Assalamu alaikum. May I remind you, Brother Shafaz Ahmad Khan and Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, that the Red Indians are pro-Palestinians. Free, free Palestine. Palestine will be free. That's a brilliant point indeed from Khalil, Ahmad.
Jazakallah, Brother Khalil. Yes, indeed. Palestine will be free. Free, free Palestine. Palestine will be, inshallah, it's just a matter of time. Yes, you are correct. More and more people in the U.S. are rising and standing in support of Palestine. They've even gone as far as saying that in the next election, they will show their numbers and they will in their large numbers. And the government of the United States will be no more. That is what they are saying. And let's hope, inshallah, let's give them direction, let's give them wisdom, let's give them support so they can come on. That is what we should be doing in every country so that we can make significant contribution to free Palestine. You'll be freeing the entire world. If you, and I want to tell you again and again, in our very own country, an election coming up, it's a decisive election. A decisive, you're at the crossroads. If you want the freedom of religion, if you want this country to prosper, if you don't want this country to go into the hands of the Zionists, then if you haven't registered to vote, please go online and register to vote. Take advantage, vote for leaders that will go there and protect our deen, protect the people that want to do the right, protect human rights all over, and fight for the Palestinian people. If you don't do that, I can see the city of Cape Town, it's just a matter of time, is going to be Zionist control. You know, it's already to a very large extent Zionist control. Look at how they dispose of the land. To who? The land that belongs to the Khoi and San, they're just disposing of. Look at the Two Rivers Project. What's significant to the Khoi and San on the Leesbeek River? Look at what they have done. Gone and sold it. Now that land is sold to Amazon. Okay? They have no respect for the indigenous people of this country of the Khoi and San. They will have no respect for anybody other than the Zionists, if we don't act and participate in the politics of this country. Let us not say that we don't want to get involved in politics. Politics is a way of life. Islam is a way of life. And we need to promote the way of life that will contribute to the upliftment of the people all over the country. And in this country, let us again, I want to say again, it's not only the Khoi and San that we have to worry about. Our own freedom in this country. What is going to happen if we're not going to act decisively and timeously? Right now, your airports and everything are controlled by designers. Right now, they're all controlled by designers. If you see the statement by the provincial commissioner of KZN, elite police officers are leaving and going into a security industry, and we know security industry pays people. Why are they leaving and going there? Is there something sinister going on underground? We don't know. We need to look at that as well. So I think it's time to rise. Come out, brothers and sisters. Be part of the solution. Let's work together. Identify the right kind of leaders. Let's participate in this election. Put the right kind of leaders so we can vote.
Ahmad, absolutely brilliant. Allah bless you. Allah keep you. You have a, mashallah, beautiful day ahead. And inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.